If you would, take your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew this morning, the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and we'll begin reading in verse 16. Matthew 28, verse 16. The Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Lord, please help us this morning as we continue in the light of the risen Christ. Help us to be faithful. Help us to recognize the time in which we live, the day in which we live, and the importance of doing your will. Please stir our hearts. Lord, may the Holy Spirit have liberty in this place. Speak to us through your word. We thank you for this. Lord, we do pray for some who are not able to be here this morning. I pray that you'd continue your work in this ministry, in this church. Father, that you would grow us into the likeness of your Son, but that you would also grow us to be more of an influence and to have a greater impact. Lord, that the fellowship of the brethren here might be expanded. Lord, I pray that you would be pleased. I pray that you would lead, that you would guide. Lord, that you would direct our steps in outreach, in summer ministry. I pray that you would guide and direct in the preparations for Camp Victory in July. Lord, that things would come together, that you would provide each need from staff to organizational things, and just that the word would be faithfully proclaimed in every setting. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity. I pray that you'd also provide the campers for Camp Victory, that we would have a blessed time, that your Spirit would work. And Lord, I pray that you'd also guide in outreach in other ways this summer. Lord, in the parade, if you should lead in that on the Independence Day, and just our personal witness as well in the community here and in our workplace and all of those situations. Help us to honor you this summer. And as the kids get out of school in a few weeks, I pray that you would just help our summers to be God-honoring as well in everything we say and do, that we would keep you first, that we would walk faithfully with you in this day in which you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Continue in the light of the risen Christ. Of course, last Sunday was Easter Sunday, a great time of celebration of the resurrection of Christ. And we saw the difference the resurrection makes. We saw the reality of the resurrection and how the resurrection indeed does change everything. It changes everything. But as we think about the continuance after the resurrection, as we think about the risen Christ talking with his disciples, with his followers, we've read that here in Matthew 28. Some of the words that Jesus spoke, it says in verse 16, to the 11 disciples, as he met with them in Galilee, in a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And so as Jesus met, and as the book of Acts in the first chapter records, how he ascended then after giving these instructions for them to wait for God's power. And notice what he says here in verse 18. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Here the risen Christ speaks with authority. Here the risen Christ tells his followers that he has all authority, all ability, and we need to go in that power. He says, I have all the power, go ye therefore, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. You can't teach the wrong person. We can't tell the wrong person about Jesus. You witness to someone, you share a tract with someone, you encourage someone, you'll never talk to the wrong person. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. I want you to see number one this morning. As we continue in the light of the risen Christ, number one, continue in his commission. In his commission. This here is the great commission, to go into all the world and to teach, to preach the gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says it like this. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. Every man, woman, and child needs to hear about Jesus. And in our day, there are yet people who have never heard. There are people who have never heard. And of the hundreds of little babies that are born, even in North Dakota, there's a new generation coming up every year, every decade, a generation coming up, and sometimes being raised in homes where God is not feared, where God is not honored, and in sometimes even in religious settings where the gospel is not preached, where the word of God is not taught with faithfulness. And so the mission field is with the birth of new children, with the children that are coming into this world, even in our state, even in this region, there are children growing up that God would have us reach. There are adults that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. There is oftentimes so much that clouds people's vision. We know the God of this world, the devil, seeks to blind men's eyes to the truth. Oh, my friend, we must be a witness. God calls us to go. The idea here is to seek people who need Jesus, to go to tell. God is not saying that we should sit around and hope they come to us asking, although we should be ready if they do. But God's desire is that we would go into the fields, into the highways and byways, to tell people about Jesus, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, how he died for our sins, how he was buried and on the third day he rose again. People need to hear the message. Many may know the name of Jesus, but yet are not saved. Will we help them to understand what it means? God tells us to teach, to go and teach, to go and preach, to go and tell. Notice that he tells us not only to do this, but he certainly calls us to disciple those who trust Christ. Notice here in verse 19, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. The idea here, of course, is discipleship, of a new believer encouraging them to follow the Lord. The first step of obedience for a new convert is for them to be baptized. It is an important step of obedience, of identification with Christ, identifying with his death, his burial, and his resurrection in new life. It is important. So God calls us to baptize those who believe. And to teach them, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things. All things whatsoever I have commanded you. You see, God's desire is not that we would just teach a couple of things, but he wants the whole counsel of God to be taught. Now, obviously, that can't happen in one, you know, six-month class or anything like that. And that's why God has designed the local church, a place where the Word of God is taught, where it's preached in Sunday school classes. We can learn the Word of God line upon line, precept upon precept, story by story, and all those things. And in the preaching of God's Word and the services of the church, they are critical for us to grow into what God wants us to be. And really, this is what the Great Commission is all about. And God calls us to continue. It's not only going and preaching the gospel, but it's discipling those who believe. God wants us to care for a lost world, but he wants us to encourage and nurture growth in his young children, in the faith, in the new converts. This is the Great Commission. This is the last words Jesus left us with a very important ministry. This ministry is yours and mine. It is ours together as a local church, a body of Christ, for us to give to support mission work like the Lighthouse Children's Homes. All these parts of the country, for years, Victory Baptist together has been able to support the Lighthouse Children's Home. We have been a blessing in that way, contributing together with others, other local churches and individuals who have given to bless and to encourage and to provide for ministries like this. And so, the work of the Lord is multifaceted, but it is all important. And God left us with this great commission before he ascended back to heaven. The risen Christ said to his disciples, go ye, teach, preach, disciple. Number two, I want you to see that he wants us to continue in his power. You'll notice that, of course, and it is in fact mentioned first that he said here in verse 18, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There is no place you can go that you cannot have God's power to do his will. God's power is for doing his will. Many times, this is why we lack his power, is because we are seeking to do what is not his will. We will be a defeated Christian if we are not obedient to his will and seeking him for his strength to do it. It's critical that we abide in his power. Remember, Jesus gave us the illustration in John 15 of the vine and the branches. Jesus said to his followers, to his disciples, he said, I am the vine. My Father's the husbandman. He takes care of the orchard. He takes care of the vineyard. But he says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. And he explained to us there the importance of the branch abiding. He said, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. And so we understand that God's power comes to us when we are abiding in the vine. That's why it's so important for us to spend time with God daily, so that we get up seeking God. We pray about our day. We pray about the burdens and needs. We are seeking God. We are living life, abiding in the vine, seeking God, seeking to do his will, seeking for him to work. Please go over to Acts chapter 1. Of course, Dr. Luke, the medical physician, and the Gentile, the only Gentile writer, was the one God used to pen the words of the book of Acts. Really a history of the early church. But before the church essentially even got started, Jesus told his followers, he told his disciples to wait for his power. Notice what it says, Acts chapter 1 and now verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. This is Jesus, of course. He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but, next word, wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. All right, so Jesus told those first century disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit that God promised to send, that comforter, right? Jesus said, when I go away, I'm going to give you another comforter who will abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, right? And so he encourages the disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit in that sense. When we trust Christ, he comes. The Holy Spirit before this time had not permanently indwelt believers. Old Testament Christians, Old Testament believers, God worked in their life. The Holy Spirit was at work, that's for sure. But they didn't have the same. We are so blessed with Christ coming and him dying and him rising and him leaving and him sending the Holy Spirit. We not only have the whole counsel of God, of which the Old Testament believers did not, we have so much light. And we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. But anyway, Jesus encouraged these disciples to wait. And he says in verse 6, he says, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They were still expecting Jesus to rule and reign literally over Israel, which will come, but not quite yet. Verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria. Jerusalem is the city. Judea and Samaria are the provinces around that area, and under the uttermost part of the earth. To the uttermost part of the earth. And so God said that he wanted us to go locally in our region and to the ends of the earth with the message of Christ. But we go in his power. We need his power. And so when we think about continuing in the light of the risen Christ, we want to continue in his commission, in the mission he's given us to do. Yes, indeed. But we also need his power. Without his power, we will fail. Without it, we will be a flop. But with it, we can do the will of God. God's power is needed in the daily ministry in our homes. God's power is needed for our witness in our workplace. God's power is needed for our interactions in business. God's power, that we would do the will of God, that we would operate in a way that pleases him, that we would be a witness like he wants us to be. We need the power of God to do the will of God. Without it, we will fail. But with it, we can succeed. Thirdly, I want you to notice he wants us to continue with his presence. With his presence. For sake of time, I don't need to have you turn back to Matthew 28, but the last verse tells us when he says, teach them all things that I have commanded you. And then the last few words of the Gospel of Matthew say, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Lo, I am with you always. One preacher said that's why he didn't like flying, because Jesus said, Lo, I am with you. Well, but Jesus was telling us that wherever we are, he is with us. He is with us. The presence of God goes with us. Consider John 14, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verse 16. John 14 and verse 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so the abiding presence of Jesus, the Spirit of God, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I. But he also tells us that he is with us as individuals. Though we be alone, we are not alone. Consider, if you would, go over to the book of Hebrews, right towards the end of the Bible. Hebrews in chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Please notice verse 5 and verse 6. God encourages us here with his presence. Hebrews 13, verse 5. He says, let your conversation, in other words, your manner of living, the way you live your life, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will... Would you read this with me? For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That's a blessed promise. And then notice verse 6. So that we may boldly say, now read it with me, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. God is my helper. He is with me. And so he's given us the commission. He's given us his power. He's given us his presence. Let's continue in the light of the risen Christ. He wants us to continue not only in his commission, in his power, in his presence, but he wants us to continue in his holiness and love. In his holiness and love. Now, there are many finer attributes of which God wants us to continue with, but holiness and love are two governing qualities. The word holy or holiness means to be separate from evil, separate from that which is corrupt, which is dirty. And God wants us to be that kind of a vessel that is sanctified and meet or acceptable for the Master's use, right? He wants us to be a holy vessel. He's called us out of the world. He's called us out of sin unto himself as servants of his. He calls us saints time and yet again in the Bible. We are saints. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins are separated from us as far as east is from west. So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. God calls the Christian to continue in holiness. We're saved to walk with God. Without holiness, we will not have the fellowship we should with God. Without holiness, we'll not have his power on our life. God works through a holy vessel. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and his death give us the opportunity. They enable us to be holy. The Bible tells us we are dead to sin because of the death of Christ. Romans 6 verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If we're saved, if we've trusted Christ because he died unto sin, we too are dead unto sin. We need to render it so. We need to come to grips with the facts. Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Being then made free from sin, verse 18 says, ye became the servants of righteousness. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And so holiness is a critical thing to do the will of God, to continue. God wants us to continue in holiness. He told his disciples in John 14, verse 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? We need to walk in obedience to the Lord. God also wants us to walk in love, to continue in love. You know what? God loves people. He loves people whose lives are just a mess. And those who are maybe not quite as much of a mess, but still in need. God loves people. There is absolutely no doubt about that. God is the source of all love. And he cares about people. And you know what? He wants us to love people. He calls us to love our enemies. He calls us to do good to those who hate us and who say nasty things about us and who persecute us. He wants us to love them, to be kind to them, to show the love of Christ. In fact, Jesus said, the grand marquee of my followers will be that they love one another. Now, if we don't love one another, it's clear we're not following Jesus. You see? Because he said, my disciples will be known by their love. And so God wants us to continue with a love for a lost and dying world. Don't ever get complacent. Oh, well, the world's going the wrong way. It's going to hell and just, oh, well, and what can we do? No, God wants us to care. He wants us to care. He wants us to reach out in love. Number five, we need to continue through adversity. Through adversity. Go to 1 Peter, if you would. 1 Peter. And I'll share a verse that's probably familiar with you. Just find your place in 1 Peter chapter 2. And then I'm going to share a verse from John 16 that Jesus spoke before he went to the cross that evening before he was arrested. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus told his disciples, in the world ye shall have tribulation, John 16, 33, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know what? Those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That is what Jesus said. That is what the Word of God says. That is 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, this world is not a friend to Christ. Now we're in 1 Peter in chapter 2. Please notice what the word says beginning in verse 19. 1 Peter 2, verse 19. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? In other words, if you're getting buffeted, if you're getting grief for your own faults, you know, and you take it patiently, it's like, well, okay, but you deserved it. Now, verse 20, the middle of it. But if when ye do well, in other words, when you've done what's right and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this, would you read this with me? This is acceptable with God. You know what? If we are doing right, if we're doing the will of God and we're facing opposition. We're facing hardship for doing God's will, for leading our family in the ways of the Lord, for seeking to stand for the truth, for seeking to love God and preach the truth, and all of those things. You know what? We should just praise God because He's pleased when we do right. Verse 21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." Oh my. Jesus suffered for us, and what's implied here, we should be willing to suffer for Jesus. That's what he says. Jesus gave us this example. He suffered for us. We should be willing to suffer for Jesus. You see, in salvation, Jesus gave his all for me. Salvation is a free gift. All the work of Jesus. But discipleship. Discipleship is when I give my life for Jesus. All for Jesus. All for Jesus, the songwriter wrote. All for Jesus. We should be willing to suffer for his name. And so, notice the theme of suffering in 1 Peter. Go to chapter 1 now, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And then I'll skip down to verse 6. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." You see, God brings his children through trials. Now, sometimes it is the attack of the enemy. Yes, it is. We do have an enemy who walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But God turns all things together for good, the good and the bad. He gives his grace sufficient for every need. We must be willing to suffer, if need be, for his name. Are you willing to follow Christ? I got much more I could say. Our time is up for today. Are you willing to embrace his commission? Are you willing to say, "Lord, this is what's worth living for, to live for you, to follow your word, to do your will"? Are you going to rest in his power? Oh, without it, we'll fail. Without it, we'll flop. But with it, we can do his will. That doesn't mean it's a life of ease, but we have his presence. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world." Are you going to go in his holiness and his love? It's not a stuck up, I'm better than you kind of holiness. That's no holiness. That's pride. But this is a humble, separate unto God, godly life. God wants us to continue in that kind of life as well as in a love of God. Will you continue through adversity? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. May that be an encouragement to you today. What has God spoken to you about today? Will you yield to the Lord? Will you take Jesus? Will you take his will? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And I thank you for the mission you've given us. Help us to respond to your word this morning in a way that pleases you. That we would walk in obedience with a yielded heart to do your will. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.